जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ बलदेव जय सुभद्रा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. It's too hot. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी इट्स टू हॉट हरे कृष्णा रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, Text 52. Naradaha Uvacha Prashnaha Evam Hi Sanchinnaha Bhavataha पुरुष ऋषभ अत्र मे वदतः गुह्यं निशामय सुनिश्चितम् नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामय सुनिश्चितम् नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्रमे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामयसु निश्चितम् नारदः उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामयसु निश्चितम् नारद उवाच अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् सुनिश्चितम् नारद उवाच प्रश्न एव हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामया सुनिश्चितम् लेडीज माताजीस प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ निशामय सुनिश्चितम् नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामय सुनिश्चितम् नारद उवाच प्रश्न एवं हि संचिन्नो भवतः पुरुषर्षभ अत्र मे वदतो गुह्यम् निशामया सुनिश्चितम् नारदः उवाच नारद सेड प्रश्नः क्वेश्चन एवं दस ही सर्टेनली संचिन्नः आंसर्ड भवतः योर पुरुष ऋषभ ओ ग्रेट पर्सनालिटी अत्र हियर मे वदतः एज आई एम स्पीकिंग गुह्यम कॉन्फिडेंशियल निशामय हियर सुनिश्चितम परफेक्टली एसर्टेन्ड Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The great saint Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential. Purport. Srila Narad Muni is personally acting as the spiritual master of King Barhishman. It was Narad Muni's intention that through his instructions, the king would immediately give up all engagement in fruitive activity and take to devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verses will show, the king was contemplating sending for his sons who were away from home, executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him, but when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life, fruitive activity, is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take to devotional service from the beginning of life. As Prahlad Maharaj advised, Kaumar acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 1. According to all the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes to Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is simply wasting his time, engaging in the fruitive activities of material existence. Narad Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king, so that he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. Narad Muni's instructions to King Barhishman or Prachina Barhishad are very instructive for all human beings within this material world, because the tendency for materialistic activity, the attraction for materialistic way of life, is very strong. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, King Prachina Barhishad heard everything that Narad Muni said, understood everything that Narad Muni said, but still was wanting to do what he wanted to do. Something materialistic. So strong is the bondage of the material way of life. It is very hard. Even when one hears, still it becomes hard. It is said that there are different categories of intelligent people. One class hears immediately upon hearing, follows immediately upon hearing. The moment they hear something good, they accept it. They don't hesitate. For example, someone hears stealing is not good, then he is careful never to steal again. A second category of person who is lower than this is he who says, well, hearing is not sufficient for me. I must also see that there are other people who steal, who are caught, and then who are punished. Then I will learn that stealing is not good, that is dangerous. So then this person sees someone who is caught after stealing, is punished, and then he says, well, yes, now I won't steal anymore. There's another category of person, the third category. He says, well, I have heard that stealing is not good. I have also seen someone who has stolen and who got caught and who got punished. But still, I still want to steal. And I will wait till I experience the punishment myself. I will not get convinced. Maybe I can steal and get away with it. So then he steals, he is caught, he is punished, and then he says, no more. I will not steal anymore. And there is a fourth category of person. He hears that stealing is not good. He sees a person who has stolen and got caught and punished. He personally steals himself, gets caught and gets punished. But still, he continues stealing. Continually gets punished again and again. So most people in the world are in which category as far as the materialistic way of life is concerned? The fourth category. And which category should we be in? The first category. We hear that the materialistic way of life brings suffering. Forgetfulness of Krishna brings suffering. But we still want to try it out. Again and again and yet again. Despite hearing so many things, despite seeing other people's experiences, despite experiencing so many things also. So this is the lesson that we learn from King Prachina Parishad. The spiritual master comes to instruct people about the godly way of life, which is the only way to bring happiness in life. But because people are so accustomed to the materialistic way of life, they only understand happiness in terms of what they can get from this material world. If I can get some material pleasure, I can get some money, I can get some enjoyment, then they think this is happiness. But this is not so. The great saintly people inform that the real happy way of life is to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and become his pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj says that in this world, people are very busy taking on unnecessary burdens in life, unnecessary so-called responsibilities, and just increasing their complexities of life so that they can more deeply forget Krishna. Maya sukhaya bharam utvahato vimudhan. Maya sukhaya means just for the sake of a little flickering happiness, illusory happiness, the sukha or the happiness of Maya, what do they do? Bharam utvahato. Bharam utvahato. Bharam means a weight or a responsibility. Udvahata means they lift. So in the name of illusory happiness, in the name of happiness which is actually illusory, they are taking on unnecessary responsibilities, indulging in so many activities, and therefore Prahlad says, Vimudhan. They are foolish. But as far as I am concerned, my dear Lord, Prayena deva munayo svavimukti kama maunam charanti vijanena pararthanishtha. There are many other people like this who are not interested in the deliverance of others. They only want their own deliverance, even if they understand that the materialistic way of life is full of suffering. And they want to get relief from this, but they don't care about others. They only want their own happiness and their own relief from distress. But I am not like that. Tvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Because my mind is constantly absorbed in the glorification of your Lordship, in your holy name, in your pastimes, in your messages. Therefore, I am not afraid of this material existence. Even though the material existence is actually very fearful. But I am concerned more about these people who are here in the world following a materialistic way of life and suffering as a result of that. And despite telling them, they don't listen. So what can be done? But nevertheless, my dear Lord, I am concerned for them. This is the nature of a saintly person. And Prahlad's guru is Narad Muni. And Narad Muni has tried instructing King Prachina Parishad. He has given one allegorical story, explained everything at length, and he understands that King Prachinapari is still not able to get it. But a pure devotee like Narad Muni is very patient. So he says, I'll tell you another allegory. I'll tell you another instruction. So the pure devotee doesn't give up. He tries and tries and tries to somehow or the other uplift the conditioned souls who are simply absorbed in trying to enjoy this world for illusory happiness. The conditioned living entity, because he doesn't understand his real welfare, as we were discussing yesterday, nate viduhu swartha gatim hi vishnum, therefore they don't even know what to ask for. Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story of one old lady who was very poor. She would live in a village and she would go to the forest to collect some wood. And then she would come back and sell it in the market, and this way she earned her livelihood. It was a very meager livelihood. And as she was getting old, naturally, she was finding it more and more difficult to do that, to carry the load of wood on the shoulders or the head. It was not easy as she was getting older. So one day, as she was walking back with a heavy load on her head, because of her physical weakness, she was not able to balance it properly and the wood fell down on the ground. And just at that time, what should happen? Lo and behold, but God appeared in front of her and said, ask me anything you like. I will fulfill any desire that you want. Now, what did the lady ask for? Please put the wood back on my head. I'm finding it difficult to bend down and lift up. What could she have asked for? Please ensure that I never have to work hard like this. Please ensure that I'll always be comfortable in life. She could have asked something like that, even if she was materialistic. But she didn't know what to ask. People don't know what is desirable in this world. What is the happiest and highest position in this world? They don't know. They think the highest and most successful position is to get a lot of money, a lot of enjoyment, to get a high position in the society. They think this is success. Another story Srila Prabhupada said was, there was another old lady and somehow or other she was in some difficulty. And the district magistrate of that place, on behalf of the government, you have a very high government representative. The district collector, the district magistrate, very high government official, senior man. So he came and somehow he did some favor to her and she was very grateful. So she went to him and said, I give you all my blessings, that may you become the constable. Constable means a very low-ranking police officer. Because this lady was from a village, she didn't know what is a district magistrate, who is what level. So because she was in the village, the constable was the big man in the village. He would come there and he would be around, everybody would respect him, he's a big lord, he will help us, he will protect us. So this is a blessing she offered him. May you also become a constable. Because she didn't know what was the highest thing in life to be. So devotees like Narad Muni come into this material world, simply for telling people what is desirable, what is a really good thing to aspire for in this world. But it is hard, because people generally, even when they find a spiritual master, they are more interested in their material welfare. One time Srila Prabhupada was traveling by train in India, and suddenly some Indian family came there, and they saw that there was a sadhu, a sannyasi, sitting there inside. So all the family members were there, and the head of the family wanted Prabhupada's blessings. But Prabhupada understood that this was yet another family who came for some materialistic blessings. Because generally, when in India people go to a sadhu, they go for some material blessing. Please bless my son so he can get a good business, or please bless us so we can make a lot of money, and we can have a big house, and we can have a big car. So they seek blessings of this sort. But Prabhupada was not the kind to give this kind of blessing. So this man was very persistent. Srila Prabhupada's assistant, his disciple, was there taking care, and he was trying to tell them, look, Prabhupada is very tired, he's very busy, he can't meet you. But that gentleman was very persistent. And Prabhupada saw that. So he said, let them come, let them come. So they came in, and he said, Swamiji, we need your blessings. Please give us your blessings. Prabhupada could understand that he didn't want real blessings. He wanted materialistic blessings. So then he said, all right, I bless you. Actually, he asked the blessings for his children. He said, please bless them, please bless them. So then Prabhupada said, I bless them that they will become like my disciples. And the disciples were in saffron clothes and shaven head. And needless to say, that gentleman beat a hasty retreat. He went away quickly from there. So therefore, this kind of blessing is not what real pure devotees like Narad Muni want to offer. The general blessings even traditionally given to young people in the Vedic culture is like, for example, Chiranjeevi Bhava. May you live for a long time, may you live a long life, things like that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not give blessings like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings were Krishne Mati Rahu or Krishne Mati Rastu. May your mind be inclined towards Krishna. May your consciousness be absorbed in Krishna. May you become attracted to Krishna. Such are the blessings that pure devotees like to give, and these are the real blessings that we should seek also. Because this is where our real benefit lies. Otherwise, we will simply be caught here in the cycle of birth and death, trying to enjoy this world of illusory happiness. So an ideal disciple, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, is he who understands the message of the spiritual master. It is the duty of the spiritual master to explain the principle of pure devotional service. So anyone who is practicing and preaching the pure principle of pure devotional service has a duty to tell others without compromising the truth. Sometimes, because people are very attached to material conceptions of life, it is hard to accept such instructions. But it is the duty of the devotees in this world to nevertheless explain these things so that the truth may be known to the people in general. It is said, there's a little story that comes to mind about different kinds of disciples. Because a disciple must not be one who seeks material blessings from the spiritual master, but one who is seeking only advancement in Krishna consciousness. So one time there was a sadhu. He was quite elderly, and he was traveling from one place to another place. And one of his disciples came along with him. Because he was old, he couldn't walk. So he was sitting on a horse. And whatever luggage the two of them had was also packed onto the back of the horse. And then they were going on. The disciple was walking, holding the horse, and the guru was sitting on top of the horse. So as they were going on, suddenly something fell from the back of the horse, some part of the luggage. And but the disciple kept walking along with the horse, and the guru said, "Look, something's fallen, you pick it up." So he said, "But Guru Maharaj, you never asked me to pick it up." "Yes, yes, now you pick it up." "Okay, yes, yes, Guru Maharaj, your order is my life and soul." So he picked up that thing and he kept it on the back of the horse. As he went along, again something else fell down. But the disciple kept walking. So then the guru said, "Look, pick up that thing, it has fallen down." "But Guru Maharaj, you never asked me to pick up this thing. You had asked me to pick up that thing." "But you should understand, it has fallen down, you should pick it up." "Yes, Guru Maharaj, my life is surrendered at your feet. Your wish is my order." "All right," so he did it. And then he said, "But Guru Maharaj, now I want some clarity. Please tell me all the things that I should pick up if they fall down." So Guru Maharaj was exasperated. He said, "Okay, all right. See, this, 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 the bedding, this water bottle, this, that, whatever falls down, you pick up. Okay?" "Yes, Guru Maharaj, your order is my life and soul." So then he noted down all the things in his notebook. Yes. And then as it happened, there was some stumbling. The horse stumbled because of some ditch. And what happened is, the guru fell down from the horse. And then he lay down on the horse. And the disciple was just standing there. The guru was lying on the road, injured. He said, "What are you doing? Pick me up." And he said, "But Guru Maharaj, you're on the list. Your name is not there. Because you had given me a list to pick up these things if they fall down, but you're not here on this list." So, "Oh, foolish disciple, just pick up anything that falls down from this horse, all right?" So they went ahead. And as they went ahead, then the horse answered the call of nature. And there was some lot of dung that came down. So the disciple remembered the guru's instruction. Anything that falls from the horse, pick it up. So very dutifully the disciple picked up the dung and gave it to the guru. "So what is this?" So like that, these are some kind of disciples. So it is mentioned that there are different kinds of disciples. One kind of disciple seeks, or rather doesn't obey the wishes of the spiritual master. So obviously he's not a good disciple, not a disciple at all, actually speaking. Another disciple is a little whimsical. He's a little better than the first one, because he sometimes follows, but when he doesn't want to, he doesn't follow. But at least sometimes he follows, so he's a little better than the first one. The other category is a little better than the first two. He follows, but only when he's told. Like this one. He needs to be specifically told. You do this, then he does it. You do that, he does it. But if he's not told, he doesn't do it. And then there is the first class disciple, who not only does what he's asked to do, but also understands the mood and the desires of the spiritual master, anticipates that, and even does it before he's asked to do it, understanding that this is what he wants. So this is the disciple, real disciple. So what does a genuine spiritual master want? He wants that everyone should make advancement in Krishna consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, "What will please you the most?" He said, "If you love Krishna purely, that will please me the most." In other words, if you become Krishna's pure devotee, or you make advancement on the path of pure devotional service, then that will please me the most. And what is pure devotional service? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. So uttama bhakti, or transcendental or first class devotional service, is that which is performed without any material motives, anyabhilashita shunyam, which is not covered by any fruitive intentions, that is, one doesn't seek anything material out of it. It is not covered by jnana. In other words, one doesn't even seek other goals like merging into the impersonal Brahman and so on. And it must be rendered, such service to Krishna must be rendered in a very favorable spirit, in a mood of wanting to please Krishna. Then such devotional service is called pure devotional service, first-class devotional service, uttama bhakti. So the only business of pure devotees like Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada and others following is to preach and practice the cult of pure devotional service. So the ideal spiritual master is one who practices and preaches this. The ideal disciple is also one who practices and preaches this. And it is explained in the scriptures that the combination of the disciple and the spiritual master is also important. They must be compatible. If the disciple is very materialistic, then it's very uncomfortable to have a guru who wants you to become a pure devotee and give up material life. It's not a compatible situation, because both will be always uncomfortable. On the other hand, if you have a disciple who wants genuine spiritual life, but the spiritual master is encouraging him in materialistic life, then what is the use? Especially this is stated in connection with the Bhagavad Saptas that are held generally outside. Srila Prabhupada used to say that anyone who speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam or anything about the Supreme Lord for a living, for some material benefit, that he is giving lectures so that he can earn a lot of money and he can advance in his own materialistic life, such a person is not the authorized speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not hear from such a person, because one will imbibe his consciousness. If that person is materialistic, and if one is hearing from him, then what spiritual benefit can one get? So Prabhupada used to say that there are many professional speakers in India who speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Ramayana and so on. Not all of them, but many of them are doing it for a livelihood. They do it so that they can get some prestige and some name and fame, and then they can earn a lot of money that comes in. And usually those people who go to them are also similarly minded, because they also want such a guru who will give them some material blessings, who will give them a little pious atmosphere in which to seek material advancement. So they make a good combination. Because the guru is like that, the disciples are also like that. Both are seeking material advancement. The disciple is seeking materialistic blessings so that they can make advancement in spiritual in their material life. And the guru is also seeking something material. So it's a good combination. But one or the other is improper, is not in the same wavelength, then there is a difficulty. Or you have another good combination of disciple like Parikshit Maharaj and a guru like Shukadev Goswami. That is a perfect combination. Because Parikshit Maharaj was only seeking Krishna consciousness. And Shukadev Maharaj was interested in only giving Krishna consciousness, nothing else. So this is real spiritual life. Narad Muni is the ideal spiritual master. And King Prachin Barishat has not yet become the ideal disciple. So Narad Muni is very patient. He wants Prachin Barishat to become the ideal disciple. So he's not giving up on him. He's continuing. I will tell you another story. I will tell you another example. I will give you more teachings. So gradually you can come to the point of understanding real Krishna consciousness and what the ultimate goal of life is. So Srila Prabhupada has given us mercifully in his teachings, in his books, in his lectures, so many wonderful instructions for us. All we have to do is to live according to those instructions, and without fail, guaranteed, we will attain happiness here and now. We will attain meaning and purpose to our life. So we have to try to become ideal followers of Srila Prabhupada, ideal followers of Narad Muni, so that we can make our life successful and help others also to make their lives successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes.
It is said that gurus and disciples, the relationship is transcendental or eternal. But then we see so many bona fide gurus around, so how do we realize that whether this guru is for me or what is it? How can we discover?
The question is that how does one choose who should be one's guru? You see, the principle of guru is one. Ultimately, Guru is Krishna. And whoever speaks the words of Krishna and practices the instructions of Krishna is a guru. By guru, it doesn't mean one has to be some very big person with a big beard and say, you know, giving big, big discourses. No, anyone who's speaking anything about Krishna is a guru. We learn something from that person. So there are different types of guru. As Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna himself is the guru in the heart. So he is called the Chaitya Guru because he is in the chitta or in the heart, the consciousness. Then that same Chaitya Guru or Krishna also manifests himself through the medium of other personalities. There may be one kind of guru called the Vartma Pradarshak Guru, one who shows us the path. Yes, please go to the temple. It's nice there. You can go and hear some nice lectures. Sometimes that Vartma Pradarshak Guru may not even himself be a devotee. I know of such a family where the father, he didn't want to go to the temple. But he just saw that there is a temple, ISKCON temple there. He persuaded his family members to go. The garland, that's the problem, these insects come in. They like the flowers, so they come. So he asked his family members to go to the temple. And they were not willing, but he persuaded them to go, and they all became initiated devotees. Except the man who sent them to the temple. But of course, after almost 15 years, now he has started chanting Hare Krishna. So he was the Vartma Pradarshak Guru. He showed them the way even though he himself didn't practice it. But he had some faith, obviously, otherwise he wouldn't have sent them. Then there is a Shiksha Guru. Vartma Pradarshak Gurus can be many. Shiksha Guru is one from whom we learn something about Krishna consciousness. One can have many, many Shiksha Gurus, unlimited Shiksha Gurus. One can learn from so many devotees. And then there is a Diksha Guru, one who gives Diksha, one who formally connects us to the Guru Shishya Parampara. That Diksha Guru will be one. More often than not, the Diksha Guru will also give Shiksha, but Shiksha can also be received from other sources. So if your question is about Diksha, that is also a question of individual inspiration. It usually comes by the mercy of Krishna. So one should pray to Krishna, Radha Gopinath, and then they will reveal what is the connection. All right? Yes.
You mentioned there are different types of disciples.
Yes.
Like, for example, one is who, after getting instruction, follow the instruction.
Yeah.
The other one understands even before he's told.
Yes.
Now, sometimes it is hard to understand whether you take the extra step is not what the Guru wants or not. You take initiative, sometimes it may not be the right thing, maybe it's speculation.
Yeah.
So how do we distinguish whether it's generally in the right direction, we're taking extra initiative or going against it?
Right. The question is that the best disciple is one who anticipates even before he is asked and does something. So how does one know that is really what the spiritual master wants, or is it something that is just speculation? By experience, by maturity, intelligence and sincerity. One should be intelligent to understand what is required and not required, what is to be done. One should have experience of what is required and not required. And one should be sincere. Then gradually one can understand, practically speaking. Yeah.
I was just reminded of an example from Ramayana.
Uh-huh.
When Hanuman goes to Lanka first time, he locates Sita against Ravan. He could have single-handed killed the whole Ravan race and brought Sita back.
Yes.
But he thought, no, I am not being given that instruction. You know, he could have done, that would have been a logical thing to do, because he found Sita might as well get her, you know, out of the place, why it have. But he understood the Lord has a different plan. So he stuck to that instruction and said, I will only find her and give a location to her, but I will not try to get her back.
Yes, very nice. Nice example of Hanuman. When he jumps over the sea to go to Lanka, he finds Sita, and actually, initially he tells Sita that I will take you back. But Sita says, no, Ram should come and take me back. And then Hanuman says, okay, let me have a little fun here now. Let me also see who is this Ravan. So he goes and sees Ravan, and then you know the story. He wreaks havoc in Lanka. And if he wanted to, he could have finished Lanka, as you said. But he wanted to leave the glory for Lord Ram. He understood what Ram wanted. Yes, so it calls for intelligence, it calls for maturity to understand what is required. Yes, someone raised a hand? Yeah. The question is that there is a tendency to ignore the Shiksha Gurus and give more emphasis to the Diksha Gurus. One must give emphasis where due. All have their own roles in one's life, and they must be accorded the regard that is due, each according to his own level and his own contribution. And so on. So yes, both the Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus must be regarded. And Guru is one, as I mentioned, in principle. The Tattva, or the truth, is one. It's Krishna manifesting through different personalities. Yes? And we would deal with each according to his level of advancement. That the distinction or discrimination also is there. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I just want to outside the topic. If we preach Krishna consciousness to a devotee and we give Bhagavad Gita to them, and within Bhagavad Gita, what they feel is it's more bias saying that Krishna is the supreme. It might be the truth, or it is the truth, but how do you preach to them saying, I mean, in what way you can explain to them saying it's not bias, it is the truth?
The question is that when you give the Bhagavad Gita to people, they say it is biased. Then how can you explain to them that it's the truth? Well, whatever you say, there's somebody can say it is biased. If it is not Krishna, If he says something else, then they'll say, why are you biased in saying that is the absolute truth? Isn't it? So anything that anyone can say, people can say this is biased. So therefore, we don't rely on our analysis. We rely on God's analysis. That's the difference between trying to seek the truth ourselves by the use of our own intelligence on one hand, and getting knowledge about God from the scripture on the other hand. The scripture is the word of God. The Bhagavad Gita is what it says, the song of God. Bhagavad means of God and Gita means song. And who speaks the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna. So naturally it's Krishna's song. So Krishna is Bhagavan. And in the Bhagavad Gita, time and time again, it says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Like here you have Shri Narada Uvacha, right? Narada Uvacha. Narada spoke. Similarly, it says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. That the Supreme Lord spoke. So he is God. Krishna is God. So it's a question of slowly making people understand the importance of scripture. Why we need to believe scripture rather than any other source of information. It is a gradual process. By association, they will start developing faith like that. Okay? Yes?
I guess the problem is they're saying Krishna is speaking and Krishna is declaring himself as God. There's no third party.
Yes.
That's the real problem people seem to have.
Yes. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is special. Because in other scriptures, somebody says, here is God, that is God. But here, God himself speaks and says, I am God. This is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita. And apart from that, Arjuna also says, Ahustvam rishayah sarve devarshi naradastatha asito devalo vyasah svayam chaiva brivishime. Right? He says that it's not that only I am declaring that you are the Supreme Lord, O Krishna. Actually, all the sages in the past have declared, Narad Muni has declared, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, all of them have declared that you are the Supreme Lord. So Arjuna says this as well. So it's not only Krishna saying, it's not only Arjuna saying, all the great sages of the past have been saying it. When you want to have knowledge in a particular field, you will go to the experts in that field, right? Suppose you want to know something about mathematics, you will not come to me. When you want to know something about computer software, you will go to some software expert. So similarly, when you want to know about God, you will go to someone who's an expert in the subject. Their opinions will matter. Other people's opinions will not matter so much. So who are the people who are expert in God? Yes, these great sages like Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyas, they are the experts. And they are all declaring that Krishna is God. So that is our principle. Yeah.
So Krishna walks the talk by showing the universal form anyway.
Yes. Yes. And Krishna also shows the universal form. Any other question? Yeah. The question is that Prahlad had said that by taking unnecessary responsibilities, we interfere with our Krishna consciousness. But we do have responsibilities in this world, like father, mother, brother, sister, whatever. So how does one reconcile? Prahlad himself was a grihastha. So there is no contradiction between being a householder and having responsibilities in this world on one hand and being Krishna conscious on the other hand. So, the thing, however, is to see all these responsibilities in connection with Krishna consciousness. Number one, to see that these relationships are based on Krishna's service. This family is not my property. this husband, wife, child, brother, they're not my property, they are Krishna's property. And I am here, Krishna has given me the responsibility to serve them so that we can all together make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That is the attitude. So that's the first point. And the second point is that even though we do have responsibilities in this world, there is no need to unnecessarily increase them. That is the idea. We have one business, we want to make two businesses, and then three businesses, and then four, and then five, and then ten. Yes? So unnecessarily to increase attachments is not required. That is the point Prahlad is making. All right? Yes. Chaitya. Chaitya, that who is in the chitta. Yeah.
So it's Chaitya Guru, like if we know, want to feel actually, whether it's someone telling us something from inside, how do we differentiate, like sometimes whether it's mind or the heart, like we are actually.
Okay, the question is how do we understand when the Chaitya Guru is speaking from the heart or whether it's our own mind? Hard to know, unless you are really pure. If you are pure, then you can understand. So by purity, gradually the disturbances in the heart will go away. I tell this story often, that there was in the 1960s a serial killer in the streets of Bombay. And he would go and kill people who were sleeping on the pavements, the poor people especially, living in the slums. When they were in the middle of the night, he would go and kill them in a very gruesome way. And he became a terror. No one knew who was it who was doing all this. And finally he was caught after he had killed many, many people. His name was Raman Raghav. And then he was brought to the court. And the judge asked him, "Why are you doing all this?" He said, "God from the heart is instructing me to do it." So it was not God who was telling him to do it, it was his own disturbed mind that was telling him. Right? He obviously had some mental problem. He was not balanced. So he must have felt some voice in the heart, and he said he thought it is God's voice. He may have thought God is speaking to me. But God was not telling him, it was his own mind. So only when we understand with spiritual advancement and maturity, then we can distinguish that yes, this is the Lord's voice and this is the voice of our mind. And usually when we hear something from within, something that comes up as an inspiration, we have to always cross-check it with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. If that voice is in accordance with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, regardless of whether it's the voice of the mind or voice of the Lord in the heart, doesn't matter, we can do it. But if the voice within doesn't match with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then we shouldn't do it. If a devotee says, "Well, I got the Lord's inspiration in the heart to go to the cinema." No. They go to the movie. It doesn't match with Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So even though I may be convinced that it's Krishna speaking in the heart, I still wouldn't do it. Because it doesn't match. Right? Okay? So, thank you. Yes, one last question. The question is that in household or life, there's always a tendency to accumulate and increase responsibilities. How can we say no?
Increase our determination.
How can you increase your determination? by living a life of simplicity. If you live a life of simplicity, it's far easier to be determined than when you are surrounded by unnecessary necessities, as Prabhupada said. Unnecessary necessities. They're not necessities, but you think they're necessary. So you call them as necessities. So if we simplify our life as much as we can, then it is far easier. And yes, it also needs a strong level of Krishna consciousness, strong sadhana, and then Krishna gives that inspiration. All right? Okay, yes. Last question.
Not so much a question, just addressing Prabhuji's point. In one of your priceless instructions to me, an email was this desire to accumulate. The best thing to do is when you've got a tendency to buy something, is ask yourself a simple question. Do you need it? Do you really, really need it?
Yes.
Use that as a litmus test, and more often than not, you won't go down that path.
Right. A simple practical test is that when you want to buy something, because you always desire to buy something, the shopping malls and the hyper malls and the advertising is so strong. So every time you want to buy something, check, do you really need it? Or is it just your mind asking? Like that, you can make your life a little simpler. It's not going to be the end of the world, right, if you don't have the latest model of such and such. So like that, we convince our mind and try to lead a simpler life to the extent that is possible for us. Okay, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj ki jai.